Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Who was your guy? When you were a pitcher, who was that veteran that you looked up to that you were bothering with questions and trying to soak up the knowledge?
Great you asked that, because I think you know the answer, and his name was everybody's legend. It's Greg Maddux, and I was lockered next to him in 2000 spring training, probably because I was going to be the first guy sent out to minor league camp. But I had the opportunity to pitch well. I learned from him. I roomed with him. He invited me to stay with him for a few months during the first couple months of the season, and all I did was pick his brain. So he's the guy. He's everybody's guy. He's so much to learn from.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
That's a great poll from our producer, Sean Anderson. Sean, S-E-A-N, Anderson, setting up another Sean, S-E-A-N. Because that voice you heard with our Zach Zaidman on the Cubs Radio Network was Sean Marshall from Thursday night's Cubs game against the Dodgers, talking about Greg Maddux. What a lovely opportunity and fine time on a Sunday morning to get a chance to welcome in Sean Marshall, who joins us on the Scores Hotline, which is presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apford.com. Hello, Sean Marshall. Good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Speaks. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Absolutely. Big Smooth? Are we Big Smooth these days? What does Cole Wright, call you these days?
He's got a couple of nicknames for me. Lovable Lefty, Lanky Lefty. Yeah. He hasn't called me Big Smooth yet, but Mick Gillespie, who I'm co-broadcasting the marquee game today with, kind of reminded me of that nickname a couple of weeks ago, and I just got a kick out of it because I kind of like that one the most.
Yeah, sure you do. Who wouldn't? You're big. And,
right?
And I thought the delivery was pretty smooth, you know, for you.
Yeah.
In your life. I enjoyed watching you pitch. All right, but let's go right to that cut, Sean Marshall. From the Marquee Sports Network, you'll see him doing pre and post with Cole Wright all year long. And as he mentioned, doing the game today with Mick Gillespie. What specifically do you ask Greg Maddux as you're hanging around a hotel room in your younger baseball days? What kind of things can you guys talk about away from the clubhouse, away from the field, that have stuck with you or stuck with you during your career anyway?
Well, it was so outstanding for me to be a teammate with him, and everybody that ever played with Greg Maddux. All you had to do was ask him questions, and he had the answers, obviously with all the experience, Gold Gloves, Cy Youngs, and just pitching for so many years. He accumulated so much wealth of knowledge. So even in my debut, it was, you know, man on first base, 3-2 count, two outs. And I gave up the home run to Scott Rolen on this pitch, and it was I threw a fastball, pretty much middle cut, and he hooked it, and it went right around the foul pole left field for a home run. And I came in after that inning, and he said, "What are you thinking about there?" And I said, thinking about throwing a strike there. He said, "Think about what you kind of maybe you threw 2-2, you threw off speed pitch 2-2. Maybe you throw that pitch again 3-2 next time. What would you have thrown?" I said, "I probably would have thrown a changeup." And he said, there you go. So just a lot of pitch selection stuff. And it, pitchers learned from Greg Maddux because he didn't have the plus. Early in his career, he was in the low to mid-90s and had the cutters and the changeups, obviously the outstanding changeup and breaking balls. But later in his career, when I played with him, he was, you know, 88 miles an hour, 86 to 88. And so you learn from a pitcher like him and Hendricks and Zach Davies, these guys, that you don't have to have plus velocity to get guys out. And so pitch selection was huge with him. Obviously, pitch execution, which I talk about all the time on the pre- and post-game show, that's the biggest thing as a pitcher. Whether you throw 98 or you throw 88, you have to make a good pitch. You have to execute the pitch, and you have to throw it with your heart. And that was a big thing that Larry Rothschild, our pitching coach at the time, was throw it with conviction. And that stuck with me my whole career. Throwing the ball with conviction is throwing the ball with total focus in your mind and throwing the ball with your heart, because you have that slight hesitancy in throwing a pitch, and you just don't make the pitch. And when you don't make the pitch, it gets hard. It gets hit hard in the big leagues.
Wow, that's really interesting. So what does it mean? So with heart and with conviction. So if you approach it like that, did that end up helping your location, or just a little, maybe a little extra zip on it, or
yes,
just that kind of stuff?
I think all of the above. Location, which is execution in a nutshell, and just throwing the ball with intent. If, when you begin to doubt yourself and you put that little bit of hesitancy in your mind, you just don't make the best pitch. But if you fully commit, whether you think it's the right pitch or maybe it isn't, maybe the situation doesn't dictate for you to throw that pitch, but if you throw it with your heart, you got a chance of making that pitch. And I teach that to all the young kids that I coach up here on the North Shore. And it's just like, you might not have the best stuff, but if you make pitches, you can get Albert Pujols out. You can get the big hitters in the league out. So that's kind of the message I like to relay to the young pitchers I coach and that I want to talk about stuff on Marquee Sports Network.
Hey, Sean, I'm really looking forward to watching Zach Davies closely this year. And my showmates during the week laugh at me when I talk about that, but they're idiots. Here's the thing. I want to know what makes him different than Kyle Hendricks, not what makes him the same. We know what makes them the same, and we've seen that with the repertoire. But have you gleaned anything yet on like the way that Zach Davies approaches hitters that might be a little different than Kyle Hendricks? Because they're awfully similar in terms of stuff and sequence, but maybe there's something that I don't see yet that I'll get a chance to see.
You know what? They both have outstanding changeups. And last year, Zach Davies threw his changeup like almost 40% of the time. And just that, the ability to make pitches, and whether you're throwing a changeup in a 3-2 count or, you know, you got these guys can throw every pitch in every count. His cutter has really stood out to me as well, kind of boring in on those lefties and diving down away from the righties. But he's been on a roll, and I can see the confidence in Zach Davies' eyes. And he's in a fresh uniform again this year. And he was traded for Yu Darvish, so he's probably got a little chip on his shoulder like, hey, I'm a good pitcher. And he's been a good pitcher for several years now, in my opinion. And I like him a lot, and I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch and carve up opponent lineups. But it's been fun, but a lot of similarities. Not big, not very big guys, Kyle Hendricks and Zach Davies, but they can really pitch. They're very smart. They have a great game plan, and he's had a really outstanding spring so far.
And then tell us about Adbert Alzolay. You got a chance to watch Thursday night, and that seemed to be a start that was a game changer, perhaps, for his opening day fate, now slotted in as the five.
No doubt. The plus stuff. I mean, he showed that he can navigate a World Series lineup full of MVPs. He punched out Mookie Betts, Bellinger. He had electric life on his fastball. He's been working extra on that put-away slider in that game the other day. He was able to just throw that slider up early in the count and put away the hitters late in the count. You know, he offers a different look from some of the other pitchers we just talked about with Hendricks, Davies, and maybe Alec Mills get some starts. They're not a whole lot of velocity. And what's going to happen is with pitchers that don't have the velocity, they're going to rely on the Cubs' excellent defense. But Alzolay has the swing and miss stuff in the rotation. I think with his outing the other day and the confidence he showed and his great work ethic and the way he wants it, we always say, hey, you got to want it, you know, and you could tell that he really wanted the job and he pitched his tail off in that outing the other day and also pitched really well in a sim game, Cubs versus Cubs, 6 days prior. And I think he really ironed out some mechanical stuff that he brought into that game, and he looked really, really outstanding.
Oh, there you go. So go back one more start to that sim game, and that probably gave Ross some confidence, and then you end up seeing what you saw on Thursday night. Talking to Sean Marshall from Marquee Sports Network. All right, so Alzolay added the slider. Shelby Miller added the slider, looked good for a while, threw three innings yesterday after being officially sent down, but then still pitched and threw three innings. I think we'll see Shelby Miller in a deep starting rotation that they're going to need anyway early on, maybe yep. even as soon as April is the gut. But everybody's kind of, if you got a pitch lab, you're usually looking these days to add a slider or some other kind of 12-6 breaking ball, right? I mean, this is what they're looking to do. What would they have done with you, Marshall, if you were in the pitch lab and they're using Rapsodo and Edgertronic and they're checking out your stuff and measuring you with biomechanics? What do you think they would have asked you to do or to add to your arsenal if it was possible?
You know, that's a good question. And the technology in our game, as I left our game, my last year really pitching healthy was 2013 or so, but the game has changed a remarkable amount with analytics and then this type of data and this type of breakdowns with the slow motion, the Edgertronic camera, which shows the release points in super slow motion. You can see the seams roll over the baseball. But I imagine if I was back in the pitch lab, might do some more things to get a little more sink on my fastball. That was a pitch that I really enjoyed throwing, especially inside to left-handed batters, where I could get that arm side run, which would set up my slider and curveball away to the lefties. But, you know, I didn't have consistent control of that pitch. Sometimes it would run more, sometimes it would stay flat. So with the technology in the game these days, I think that I probably could have enhanced that pitch a little bit more. My curveball was always my bread and butter. Maybe there's a couple, maybe some finger placement things that I could have done to maybe manipulate it a little bit more, or get a little bit more consistent break. But I could sweep it. I could go 12-6, drop it straight down. And then that made my fastball, my four-seamer, a little bit better. But the technology in the game is fascinating. I enjoy learning about it. It's ever-evolving. And they've had a lot of success changing some guys so far in spring training, some mechanical adjustments with Jake Arrieta. Trevor Williams comes over, and the bite on his slider looks really good so far this spring. So it's pretty fascinating. And Hadavi, Borzello, Craig Breslow, they do a really good job of relaying information and making these adjustments. And it's important to do it here in spring training.
Yeah, they really do. And the pitch lab has done really good things. It's so interesting that, like, the history for the organization in terms of pitcher development at the minor league level has not been great for Theo and Jed's regime. But at the big league level, they seem to keep finding guys and tweaking them and help get the most out of them. Tell me about Trevor Williams, who put up great stats a couple years ago and then was absolutely brutal last year. What's different about him from this spring, as far as you can tell?
You know, and he talked about in the interview about an oblique injury, and I've been there. I've had an oblique, and it's not a fun injury, and you kind of can compensate your delivery. As a pitcher, you have to have flow. You have to have good timing in your release point, and I think after that oblique injury a few years ago, he was tentative to press the accelerator and test that oblique. So what happened then is he wasn't making pitches, and he wasn't trusting his stuff, and maybe he was getting some arm side run, which runs the ball back up in the middle of the plate to some of these righties. And he got hit for a lot of damage. And in 2019, he had a 5.38 ERA, 2020, a 6.18 ERA. But you look back to his 2018 stats, he was 14-10 with a 3.1, and he started every start that season for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So they're looking to regain that form. But so far in spring, just the confidence. His delivery looks insane. He's more herky-jerky than a Zach Davies or a Kyle Hendricks. But I think that little extra deception just makes him nasty. The arm side run on his sinker makes his slider look even better. But he's pitching with a lot of confidence, too. So I'm very optimistic that this Cubs starting rotation is going to really compete. They're going to keep the ball on the ground. They're going to get punch outs when they need it. But I'm optimistic for a good season from these guys.
Yeah, I've been saying I think they're going to be sneaky decent, this Cubs rotation, because a lot of people don't think they're going to be good, but sneaky decent. And then Arrieta's the one we haven't talked about. We don't need to talk about Hendricks. We know exactly what he is, which is a really fun place to be, actually. But Arrieta, it seems to me, could benefit from the fact that Hendricks is the one. That's the archetypal approach that everybody is sort of following. Full belief in the infrastructure and really execute and mix it up. And you know, because this is the phase that Arrieta needs to be in at this point, since he's not just a dominant stuff guy or can't survive just on that alone anymore.
Yeah, he's not going to have his 2015 and 2016 stuff. He was hurt in Philly. I mean, he had the knee injury in 18. He had some bone spurs in his pitching elbow in 19, and the hamstring kind of landed on the DL in mid-September last year. So just like with Trevor Williams, when you're injured, you're compensating. And he did not have good numbers in a Philadelphia Philly uniform, but he had really good numbers as a Chicago Cub. He's one of the best pitchers, really, in Cubs history. But as soon as he was signed, I called Brian Price, who was my pitching coach with the Cincinnati Reds, and it was Jake Arrieta's pitching coach with the Phillies last year. And I said, hey, man, what can we expect from Jake Arrieta? He said, hey, he had some mechanical issues last year. He was dropping down in his delivery. He was becoming rotational, and he was yanking pitches. But when he's in the zone with the sinker, the cutter, the changeup, he is tough to beat. Yeah, he doesn't have the swing and miss stuff that he had 4 years ago or so. But he told me that he's still got a lot left in the tank. And we all know Jake's work ethic. This guy rarely wears a shirt that has sleeves on. This guy's he's a joke yoked. You know, he's so strong, and he takes such good care of his body. And he's back in a familiar circumstance with Tommy Hotovy, who was, you know, the run prevention coordinator back when he was getting everybody out. So it's just a really good fit, and I'm so happy that Jed Hoyer and the new regime went and picked him up, because I think he's going to compete. He'll throw game two of the season, and he's going to do just fine this year.
Sean, texters are enjoying the commentary, enjoying some of the nitty gritty of pitching that we're getting here, but they need a definition of arm side run to really help understand the comments. So educate the masses, if you would.
Arm side run. So you got your glove arm. For me, I'm a lefty. I throw the ball in my left hand. Obviously, my glove arm will be my right hand. When you get arm side run, you get on top of the baseball and the ball. For me, a lefty would run to the left or sink to the left. So getting the arm side run as a righty, it bores the ball into the right-handed hitter. So, you know, there's sink, there's drop, but run is almost like horizontal movement, running that ball into a righty. So righty runs into the righty, lefty runs into the lefty.
So think about those Greg Maddux two-seam fastballs that would start outside and then run over the plate for a called strike three, and he's halfway off the field by the time the umpire reaches out and calls the strike, right?
And I couldn't do that pitch. For me, that's a glove side starting the ball off the plate away to a lefty and running it back.
Crazy.
But what I did in my career is I threw a backdoor slider. And what happened in backdoor slider is starts away from the plate and kind of backs up onto the outside corner. So for a righty batter with me pitching lefty, I throw it in the lefty batter's box and it comes back on the outside corner for a strike. I couldn't throw that comebacker that Greg does and Davies does. You see it a little bit with Arrieta as well. That's a really tough pitch to throw. But it's fun, and Greg Maddux did it really well, man. He made a lot of money and got a lot of guys out on that one, because it appears as a ball. You get the buckle. And then for me, it was me to get back into the count. So say it's 2-0 count, and I want to get back into the count to make it 2-1. I would flip that backdoor slider up. The hitter sees a ball. He thinks it's out of the strike zone. It comes back for almost a gimme strike. So a little verbiage there. I hope the viewers are enjoying our chat about pitching speaks.
Yeah, listeners, we don't make that big TV money here, Marshall. We're just got listeners, no viewers.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I'm sure they're digging it. You know what? I don't know what would feel better, having never done either of them. Hitting the ball out of the damn park and getting to trot around the bases at my leisure, or having one of those moments where, say, you just freeze a real good hitter with a curve and you walk off knowing it's strike three before anybody's made a call and anybody's reacted. It's just that feeling for out number three. That's got to be pretty good, Marshall.
I would say equally fun. As a pitcher, that's the best one, especially at Wrigley Field back in the day when the fans are on their feet and I was pitching in the eighth inning and I could throw the big curveball that starts, you know, above the batter's head and it drops in for a strike. And only I know as it comes out of my hand, oh, that's gonna land as a strike. And just setting that pitch up and then pleasing the crowd and feeling the crowd energy, which we will get this year to some capacity, 25% capacity, hopefully by the end of the year, 100% capacity at Wrigley. Having the fans and doing that for the fans and, you know, the hitters when they hit the home runs in front of our Chicago Cubs fans, the best in baseball, is just, it's a thrill to do that, you know, as a big leaguer.
I want to ask you about the fans, but first tell me about the home run at age 23 in 2006. Paint a picture for us on that one, if you would.
Well, you got some broken watches in your desk at home, I'm sure, Spieg. And those watches, they tell the right time like twice a day. You know what I mean? So for me, that's pretty much the scenario with that. It was El Duque, who had a great career. He kind of served me up a little 2-0 fastball, and I blacked out. I swung and hit the barrel, got in the jet stream, and landed in the stands. And it was ESPN. It was fun. It's an interesting game to talk about for me because I was pitching really well that game. And I got a hit to left field. I hit the home run. I get to third base, and a friend of mine who also grew up in Virginia is a Mets legend, David Wright. And so he comes up to me. He's like, "Marsh, man, you're not allowed to deal and rake in the same game," which means pitch well and hit in the same game. So I go out in the fifth, and the wheels came off. And the wind was whipping out that day. So I gave up a grand slam that inning, a couple errors, got out of the game. Roberto Novoa came in, another grand slam in the same inning.
Oh.
It was a disaster of an inning, and I was in the weight room doing my rotator cuff stuff, and I was watching the game on TV. I'm like, what happened? I mean, I was having a great game, and I was getting hits, and I was pitching well, and the wheels fell out. So it's humbling. Baseball can humble you in a second, and on that particular day on ESPN in the afternoon at Wrigley, I got some humble pie.
You know, I blame Wright. I blame David Wright, though, man.
What's he doing? He must have knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he got in your head. That ain't cool. Maybe. Yeah, you can't deal and rake, and you had to decide. And apparently you chose rake. You chose rake that day.
I think so. But it was so much fun playing at Wrigley, and I'm excited to talk baseball on Marquee. And I'm so fortunate for the opportunity to do the broadcast today with Mick Gillespie. And I was on 670 Score a couple of days ago with Zach Zaidman being the color guy filling in for Coomer on a short-term relief role. So that was really fun, too. So I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to talk baseball and just kind of give some knowledge and some insights to some people that might not know all these things.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you're getting better and better, Sean. It's nice to watch you and nice to hear you. And I'm enjoyed the conversation. All right, last thing before I let you go. What will the return of fans mean to some of the players? And it's so odd because you never experienced complete fanlessness like these guys did. But, you know, I'm just really looking forward to it. I know Javi's going to react to it because Javi has a give and take with the crowd that you've always been able to see, that kind of energy share that he has always had. But if you could tell us, what do you think the players do get from fans in attendance?
I just think that big league players, just like Javi Baez, are performers. And when you are born and bred to be a performer for the fans in front of you, not only just the TV fans that are watching at home, but doing it live in person, I think it's huge. So getting fans back this year, I've pitched in one game. It was in minor leagues in AAA when there was a flood in Des Moines, and there was no fans allowed in the game. And it was just an eerie and very weird experience, and you just don't feel the same energy without the people cheering you on. Whether it's a visiting crowd heckling you or the home crowd, rooting you on. You don't feel the same energy when it's empty. And I was at the ballpark for a few games last year, and it was just downright weird. And you can hear the dugouts talking. You can hear the guys bringing their own energy. But just to get the fans back in the stands for these players that a lot of them love to perform and do well in front of people live, it's going to be big for this year.
Yeah, you know, I heard Pat Hughes talking about it and rightfully saying that everybody around the game, I heard John Rooney saying it yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse. It's just people are buzzing, just waiting for it. It's like fanless baseball. That just ain't it. That is not it. So
no, it's just weird.
Yeah. 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 So here we go. Let's enjoy it. Well, Sean, this was a great pleasure, man. Thank you so much. And we'll do it again soon. And looking forward to watching you today on the broadcast on Marquee and certainly pre and post with Cole Wright. Enjoy yourself and thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks very much, Biggs, and keep up the good work covering our Cubs, man. It's awesome to listen to you.
Man, I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Sean. That's Sean Marshall from Marquee Sports Network. Yeah, he's gotten better and better, folks. You know, it's a good find. A good find by them in the way that he can talk pitching, and he can talk about being a reliever as he was late. He can talk about being a starter as he was early. And the nuances of pitching at Wrigley and everything. Really enjoyed that. Phone lines are open for you at 312-644-6767. That's the number if you want to hop in and talk anything, Cubs and Sox. You'll hear from Jake Arrieta in the next segment, and a little bit later on, the newest of the Cuban connection for the White Sox. Keep it right here. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking White Sox news. The Sox make a huge move and sign Japanese superstar Shohei Ohtani.
Nope.
Oh, that is in the sound system at the Score, back from when the White Sox were going for it. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score. They didn't get him. Angels got him. It's been a bumpy go for Shohei Ohtani. But to me, he's one of the biggest stories of spring training. I cannot wait to see this man, this player, this weapon fully unleashed this year by our old friend Joe Maddon out there in Anaheim. He's been working on a strength and conditioning program over the last year that he ramped forward in the offseason, a better diet. He's 6'4", 225, and what they're saying about him is that his entire body is stronger than he was in the past. The top half and the bottom half are more in line. They're feeling good about the possibility for him being healthy, and he's going to get a chance to do everything. He's going to get a chance to be that full two-way stud that we have really never seen in the game, frankly. I mean, Babe Ruth stopped pitching and then was a great hitter for the last 20 years and 15 years of his career. Ohtani is going to have some games, as he's done in this spring, where he is your starting pitcher and your leadoff hitter. Or your starting pitcher and your four hitter. He's going to have games where he's going to hit for himself, obviously when they play against National League teams with no universal DH. But in the American League, they've done the research and looked at the rules and see what it means. He'll be a pitcher and a hitter at the same time. And then when he's done being a pitcher, they'll deal with whatever fallout with the DH spot that they need to deal with, because he's just, he's been hammering the ball, hitting lots of home runs against righties and lefties. As a pitcher, he's been throwing a hundo with nasty breaking stuff, and they need a dominator. They've got Dylan Bundy in that rotation. They signed Alex Cobb. They've got a few other pieces, but they need somebody to dominate with real stuff, and that's going to be Shohei Ohtani to go along with Andrew Haney. Angels, man, that is going to be a sneaky pick out there in the West. Oakland has lost people. Houston has lost people. Wouldn't it be fun if we get a chance to see Mike Trout in the playoffs now along with Anthony Rendon and Shohei Ohtani? Justin Upton has had a pretty good spring. I mean, that's a lot of pieces. They got You Go, We Go with Dexter Fowler out there. But really, Rendon, Ohtani, and Trout? Come on! Win with that batch. Joe Maddon, let's see it. 83.5 is the win total on the Angels? Absolutely. Hammer that over. Hammer that. And just, you know, as a baseball lover, to see Ohtani in the full bloom of his possibilities, unleashed without, you know, the kid gloves. Man, bring it. Give it to me. 670 The Score is where you are. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe is on the far northwest side and is now on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. What do you say, Joe?
Good morning, man. Happy opening week, everybody. I'll tell you, enjoyed that interview with Sean Marshall. I'll tell you, met him many times, and if I was a manager of the Cubs, I'd be picking him as my pitching coach. But you know what, Matt? With the service time talk, especially the last few years surrounding Chris Bryant, you know, this is one time I disagree with Jed Hoyer's decision sending Nico down before the season. You know, the Cubs need to get a good jump to start the season. You know, you would think with the Cubs' offense the last few years, especially in postseason, you know, with their bats, which are more stale, in my opinion, than a three-day open bottle of Dad's Root Beer, that you would use Nico Horner right away. You know, but obviously it comes down to business. It comes down, you know, to the service time. And regarding our battery, you know, the
Cubs'
battery.
Well, hold on. I don't agree that it's about service time. He has options left, and a lot of these other guys do not. But you know, they used him all last year. They brought him up in September of 2019. If they felt like he was truly ready and could play every day, then he would. He's not going to play here every day, so they rather him get consistent work. So I push against that narrative in this particular case.
You know, Matt, I agree with you on that. But regarding service time, how many times have we heard it on and off? What are Cub fans like myself, you know, some of the other educated Cub fans, they're going to think? I mean, look at by trading Darvish and giving up Carantini as a backup for virtually for nothing. You know, Austin Romine's injury problems he's got, and we got some minimum wage backup catchers, and we have an uncertain starting rotation, especially with the newcomers of Zach Davies, and you don't know who's going to follow that. But I hope this year, though, David Ross doesn't play the game of musical chairs with certain players. You know, the Cubs need to concentrate, Matt, on a resurgence of Chris Bryant. You know, by just leaving his defense, in my opinion, leave it at third base this year, period. You know, I like Sogard. His performances, in my opinion, they're better than his stats. You know, he's got a good glove. You know, he works the count. He fouls off pitches, and he does give opposing pitchers fits, you know. It's going to do a lot of good for the Cubs, and it's a good move on Jed's part there. And, you know, being a Cub fan regarding this Eloy Jimenez, whole deal. You know, he has this daring young man in a flying trapeze sort of defense, you know, and bordering or the borderline of showboating, which in my opinion, the key words here are showboat, because he just got a front row seat on the Titanic. But to be fair and professional regarding, you know, Theo's pick of David Ross's manager of the Cubs and Reinsdorf's personal pick of the Spirit of 76 himself, Tony La Russa, you know, basically, I don't care who the manager is. What's the old saying? I said this on the score before, and I'll say it again. If you don't have the horses, you don't win the Kentucky Derby. But for 2021, Matt, we got 162 games this year. But for Cub fans and for Sox fans alike, you know, it's basically for us, it's news at 10 and movie at 11. But, Matt, I really enjoy the show, Matt.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Joe had material. Man. Joe is lining them up and knocking them down. And we'll be at Zany's on Thursday, I think. Is he doing the early show at Zany's on Thursday? I do believe. Appreciate the call, Joe. A lot there to chew on. I think I'll just swallow it whole, frankly. Ron is on the south side on 670 The Score. Ron, what's up, man? Welcome. Good morning. And baseball is life.
There you go. Baseball's like, been a long time. We've been talking to it a long time. That's right. And it gets better and better. Real quick. Oh, first of all, that Anaheim team is going to be a fun team to watch. I just don't know how much pitching they'll have, though, Matt. That's the thing when you look at Anaheim. Just the pitching, which most teams, and that gets me to my point. Dylan Cease, most of the players on the Sox team, I have a general expectation of what kind of numbers they will produce outside of Vaughn, because I still just do not have a feel on Dylan Cease. And you know, Matt, everybody is saying it's a possibility that the bullpen could really be good, one of the best, and even with him in there, the offense is going to be pretty good. But I really am looking at this starting pitching staff to be really a strength of the team. But we know what Rodon will do. We just hope that he's healthy. And the top three pretty much know what you can expect from them. I'm thinking that Giolito could really be in for Cy Young contention. But that's my thing, Matt, is Dylan Cease. He's the only one. I just don't have any idea what to expect from him. And I think as he goes, it's going to make a big difference in the White Sox starting pitching. What's your comments on that?
Ron, thank you, man, for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I understand. You know what you're going to get from Lance Lynn. A horse. Just an absolute horse. You know what you're going to get from Keuchel. Giolito was dominant yesterday. Not 95 pitches over 5 2/3. Looked great. Did Giolito throwing obviously that four seamer as he does, and the high changeup as he does, because he's bold and he doesn't care like that. The bread and butter is what we saw mostly. He's been working on improving the slider, trusting it, developing his relationship with Yasmani Grandal, who did catch him yesterday. Carlos Rodon been following closely, his four seamer has more carry. He came in pissed off about being non-tendered, working a lot with Ethan Katz and the velocity belts. And Rodon's got a big thing to prove. With Dylan Cease, it comes down to location. Can you find the strike zone? Last year led the American League in walks. This year in the spring, it has looked better. And there was a terrific training video or just a moment of teaching with Ethan Katz and Zach Collins catching Dylan Cease that the White Sox put out about a week and a half ago. And it was such a cool window into the kind of stuff that they're working on, where Cease made a small adjustment to his breaking pitch, but still was able to get it over the plate. And you heard Katz teaching and talking. And okay, so they've got some stuff figured out there. Sometimes you watch and you're like, all right, why did he lose the plates? Because he made an adjustment because he needed to get a little more bite. He needed to get a little more something. And it was too much of an adjustment. Then all of a sudden he couldn't control it. So they're working very specifically on those kinds of things. And if Dylan Cease can stay in the strike zone for the most part and get his breakers over for strikes, this has been true for him for a couple years. that he can be really good. So we'll see, Ron. I understand the concern. That is for damn sure. All right, he mentioned the bullpen. I want to talk about that. I've told you I got Jake Arrieta tape. We'll get it all in before we get out of here. But in the meantime, we'll take a break, come back. Eno Saris from The Athletic on some national things and stuff that really interests him around the league. We'll talk to him. I love talking baseball with him. We'll do that at the top of the hour on Hit and Run. When we come back, should I do a White Sox bullpen in context around the league or Jake Arrieta on what he's working on? Who knows? One of the two. Spin the wheel. Come back and find out on Hit and Run on the Score.
And here comes the 2-2. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Two away.
Now, Jake with a sinker. This is fastball. It's in the middle of the plate, and it starts out about knee high, and the bottom drops out of it. And Robert swings right over the top of it, one of the highest.
Jake Arrieta with a strikeout on a swing the other day. Ron Coomer, Zach Zabin on the Cubs Radio Network right here on 670 The Score. Hey, do you guys know Thursday's opening day? Do you guys know that? Do you know how many games there are? Oh, there's a lot. A lot. In fact, there's 15. All 30 teams are in action on Thursday on opening day. So, I mean, that's pretty great. The Blue Jays and the Yankees is at noon on opening day. Cubs will be hosting the Pirates right here on the Score. That game at 1:20 on opening day. Towards the end of your night at 9:05 Central, the White Sox at the Angels. To cap off your opening day and evening, we will see the aforementioned Angels against the White Sox, two of the more exciting and interesting teams in what is really a pretty open American League after the Yankees. Yankees and then a lot of other people. Would have been the White Sox really at the second favorite. Now with the loss of Eloy, I think they've fallen back to the pack a little bit in concept. I've still got them to go to the World Series, by the way. I made a bet on the Dodgers and the White Sox to be together facing each other in the World Series. That would be kind of nice. Most people are going to go Yankees and Dodgers, as has been floated out there and a possibility for several years now, rekindling an old commonality of the Yankees and the Dodgers that goes back to New York and Brooklyn days and certainly goes back to 77 and 78 for the LA Dodgers and the New York Yankees back-to-back years in the World Series. A lot of folks thinking that maybe this is the year for that. I still think the White Sox are going to get there. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's learn about Jake Arrieta and what he has done to make himself different this time around with the Cubs by necessity. First, here's Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic talking with Bernstein and Rahimi on why there is decent reason for optimism for Jake's 2021.
I think what you said about the way the pitches look, there's a lot of movement. These pitches are moving differently. They're not moving like they were what we saw in Philadelphia. And you know, maybe it sounded, you know, you could very easily say, oh, look at all this excuse making. He was hurt in this year and that year in Philadelphia and mechanics got out of whack. Well, those are just excuses. Well, now, you know, you watch the pitches move. You watch the reaction of the hitter. And I think there was something to that. He's healthy. He's with a group of people that really know how to make him at his best. They've seen him at his best. It doesn't need to be the velocity that it was. He can. There's a way to pitch with his pitch mix and get out.
So how is he doing it? He hopped on with Lawrence Holmes, was on for just a short time, but some real good stuff right at the top with Jake Arrieta on what has been working for him so far in spring training.
Well, I think first and foremost, it starts with the timing and my line and my delivery, right? So I'm typically a crossbody guy, and I got away from that in 2018 because, you know, unfortunately, I pitched all season with a torn meniscus, and it was pretty difficult for me to throw crossbody because of the torque on my knee. So you know, over the past 6-7 weeks, we've been working on getting my line to the point where I'm not closed off completely, but I still have a little something to throw into my front foot. And it's creating a little bit more deception for me, and it's making my pitches, you know, move like they used to. So that was a pretty difficult progression at first, but now I've got it dialed in pretty good, and I'm feeling nice about it.
How do you think that you've changed from the pitcher that Cubs fans saw the last time they saw you here versus who you are right now?
Well, I'm pretty much the same guy. I don't have the high-end velocity that I used to have, but as far as the shape on my pitches, you know, my ability to go out there, pitch deep into games, put the ball on the ground, and give my team a chance to win every time I'm on the mound, that's still who I am. Like I said, I'm not throwing 97, 98 miles an hour anymore. You know, I still run it up to 93, 95 occasionally, so which is more than enough to get the job done. Still get a significant amount of swing and miss. But yeah, like I said, my secondary stuff is still at a pretty high level, and I'm still able to use all four pitches, you know, whenever I need to throughout the game. And so that's a good sign, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So Jake Arrieta embracing the opportunity, adjusting himself, adjusting what he does, and here we go. Game on. Game on indeed. Opening day, 15 games on Thursday. No in-person attendance in 2020, but all 15 ballparks on opening day will have at least limited attendance. And as we've been following along and thinking about it, 20% of the available seats was the original thing on the White Sox and the Cubs, but now it's been bumped up. So more than 8,100 originally for the White Sox, more than 8,200 originally for the Cubs, but now been bumped up a little bit. And all of a sudden, maybe you found yourself on the MLB ballpark app looking for tickets for certain games, looking for tickets for out-of-market games. Maybe you've been planning a trip. Maybe you've been trying to get Cubs tickets up in Milwaukee for that mid-April series, but you're not allowed because they don't want those dirty, festering Illinoisans going up there. But it's going to happen anyway. You know it's going to happen anyway. Looking forward to opening day. Looking forward to a final hour of Hit and Run here on The Score. Anthony Herron's coming up at noon after me. Looking forward to talking to Anthony later on, saying hello. And Anthony will get going at noon. But before that, some predictions on the year, a few different numbers that Sean Anderson and I think are indicative of some storylines to watch all year, and a reminder of how you can place bets that the Parkins and Spiegel Show has put together over at the Bet Rivers app. So we'll talk about that next hour as well. And who are the best bullpens in MLB? Where do the White Sox rank among the best bullpens in MLB? All of that's coming next hour in Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what did you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.